So the title of my sermon today is Faith in the Little Things. And something that I am learning to appreciate in my life, especially the past couple years, are stressful circumstances. Those moments when I feel like I'm in over my head, and when I hit the limit of my capacity, when I feel unequipped to take on the task at hand, when I'm overwhelmed, when I can't do it on my own, when I'm frustrated. These are all kind of unpleasant things, but I'm learning to appreciate them for their value. I find that they are valuable experiences more and more. If I allow myself to get over those initial reactions. It's just that these types of circumstances are just not easy to handle, and they are really, really uncomfortable. What I've learned to realize about these experiences is that they are a lot like taking a cold shower. Now, I'm sure many of you have experienced a cold shower, and it is extremely unpleasant. Our natural instincts are to get out as soon as possible, maybe try and get it to go warmer, and just make it stop, just get out, right? However, a cold shower is something that we as people are able to endure. Nobody's died from a cold shower, at least not to my knowledge. And eventually, it's over. That is the point. It doesn't last forever, just like stressful circumstances don't last forever. It's just unpleasant. It may seem trivial for me to say it's just unpleasant, and the words make it seem that way, but when we're in the thick of it, it is a difficult thing to go through. But stressful situations are things that we can get through, just as we can get through a cold shower. And much better than a cold shower, we can usually come away from these experiences appreciating what it has taught us and allowing us to have grown from that experience. Now, the best part about these challenging circumstances that we may encounter is that they give us a chance to put our trust in God. Though it is all too human to try and put our trust in ourselves first and forget about God. That's what our carnal selves will want to do. I can handle this. I can get through this. And it is all too easy to forget about God. Very human experiences that are stressful and very much relegated to, just our day-to-day life, things like lost luggage on an international flight, or missing an alarm, getting to work late, paper cut, computer problems, difficult conversations with someone, and the like can be such common difficulties. Again, very like day-to-day life kind of stuff, that it can be very easy to rely on ourselves to get through these things with our human abilities and forget to trust in God. But that is not what God wants. God wants us to have trust in Him in all things. He wants us to call on Him throughout our life in all of our circumstances, big, small, whatever the case may be. I've found such great delight when I have put my faith in trusting in God in certain circumstances like that. When I've prayed before a difficult meeting at work, I've been delighted by the outcomes. I've had so many computer problems fixed by praying to God when I've come to my wit's end. Today is one of those moments. And it's delightful to see when God comes through and those little things that we put our trust in Him. To me, it gives me reassurance that God is watching over every single moment of my life, that He cares and that He is willing to work with me to overcome whatever difficult circumstance I might have, large or small. As useful as faith is in our lives to get us through challenging circumstances, large or small, I think it's very important to start out in this topic of faith by understanding what the purpose of faith is. What exactly does faith do for us? I'd like you to turn to Hebrews 11:6 with me. This is the faith chapter. There's a lot said here, but Hebrews 11:6 states quite simply, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," speaking of God. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The purpose of faith is to transform the way we live so that we please God. That's what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is a secondary outcome to be rewarded by our faith. Usually we consider the reward as the product of what we're trying to achieve, but truly faith is there to transform our behavior. We act upon our faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith, once we act upon our faith and our beliefs, proves that we trust God, and that is what pleases him. The purpose of faith is to put our trust in God in every single thing, large and small, period. The purpose of faith is not to get what we want. The purpose of faith is to align our will with his. Now, this begs the question, why is it impossible to please God when we don't have faith? Now, what pleases God? I think we should all know what pleases God. It's obedience. Citing 1 John 5:3, a common scripture, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." That's what pleases him, is when we are able to live according to his commandments, when we put on righteous behavior. Now, how can we be obedient? How can we live in the way of righteousness? We can't do it of our own accord. We put in our heart to have our will in accordance with God's. But get this, we do it with the faith of Christ working in us. Philippians 3 and verse 9, Paul writes, and I'm reading from the King James Version, Philippians 3, 9, cutting in, Paul writes, "And to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Having the faith of Christ is how we are able to prove our trust and submission to God's will in our lives. Jesus Christ had faith that he would be able to live a perfect life, keeping all of God's commandments, so that he could usher in the opportunity for us to have salvation. We trust in that. And Jesus Christ proved his faith too. In his last moments on the earth, Jesus prayed to God, asking for his imminent persecution, which he knew was about to take place. He asked God the Father if that cup could be taken from him. He wanted to avoid that violent death, if at all possible, but he put it into God's hands. He trusted and fully had faith in God the Father that his will would be done. And Jesus Christ was happy to align his will with God the Father's. And like us, Jesus Christ was flesh and blood. He didn't want to suffer that violence. But Jesus asked again, according to the will of his Father, having the faith that God's will would be done, and that was the best possible thing to have happen. We have the same faith with the Holy Spirit working in us. We have the faith of Christ that works in us, that allows us to put our will in submission to his, inspiring us, of course, to act upon it. We trust that living according to his standard, that is, according to the commandments that God has given us, we find that righteousness comes through Christ's faith. That is how we please God. And a lot of times, that faith and those actions that we take that are in accordance with God's commandments are totally in opposition to what the world would consider to be the right thing to do. The world will tell us that a little lie is not a big deal. But that's not what God's commandments do. When we have faith in living God's way, we trust in Him to provide us the best possible outcome. Our faith leads to actions that please God and draw us closer to Him by trusting that His methods, His way of life, work, and that His will for us is better than anything that we could imagine for ourselves. I'd like to read from Luke 19, verses 12 through 19. This is the parable of the minas. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, to whom he had given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. And I'm just going to stop there. The 10 minas were an investment for which the nobleman expected a return. And these servants, as we can pick up here, seem to have had a hard job to do. The citizens in the place where they were trading were contentious against the nobleman. Perhaps the trading was not as easy as it might seem. The ones who worked at it and were successful, they trusted that their efforts would produce a return according to the will of the nobleman. And the ones who had the greatest return, they were commended for their faith. And their faith was quantified as being something that was very little. It was a very little thing for them to just do this thing. But the man who was very successful trusted that his efforts would be blessed, and he took action to do so. He had no guarantee, but he was going to try, and it worked when he put his will in accordance with his master's. Reading from James 4, verses 13 through 16. James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. That's a very human way of thinking. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. In this example, James addresses the people who have a partition in their life between their worldly activities, their business, and their relationship with God. And this really is the whole point that I'm trying to make here. Our lives are better when God is included in every single one of our activities. Even those things that seem like they're very human and very much a physical activity. So when we pray for something to work out as we would like, what we are doing is putting our trust in God to work things out. And this is what faith is about. We relinquish our own control in favor of God's control. Always. Not just here and there. Reading Luke 16 and verse 10, he says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. When we consider how we put faith to work in our life, we have to be mindful of the purpose of faith. The purpose of faith is to draw us closer to God by transforming our lives in the model of Jesus Christ. And that's not a part-time job. It is a way of life. And this is the point. Having faith in the little things brings the will of God into every aspect of our lives. Even the things that seem like they may be too mundane or too trivial for him. being spiritually minded, which this is, frames all of our life in the context of our relationship with God. Every single thing. Our faith places trust in the fact that responding to all of our circumstances in a way that pleases God will bring about the very best of all possible outcomes.